Welcome to the CGMA Magazine podcast series, a service of the American Institute of CPAs and the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants. This series features discussions with Chartered Global Management Accountants and other experts about the topics, trends, and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
Welcome to the CGMA Magazine podcast series. I'm Editorial Director Jack Hagel. More and more business schools and organizations are bringing aspects of the arts into their talent development programs. In today's episode, Senior Editor Samantha White speaks with Judith Pidgett and Louise Grizzoni, who specialize in these trends at Oxford Brookes Business School. Here's Sam.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Business schools and organizations are bringing aspects of the arts into talent development programs. What sort of arts are they using and how are they using them?
Well, what we've found is that there are a range of arts that business schools are using, and they range from using singing to poetry to art, life drawing in some places, other music and drama. And there are a whole range of arts-based approaches that business schools are tapping into to try and help people develop their skills and their abilities to lead and manage creatively in a time when what we know that the simple decisions and the rational approaches aren't providing the whole picture.
What are the benefits of this kind of approach?
The benefits are wide-ranging. There's obviously a whole range of skills development that people can learn from and grow and develop. And that could be in terms of their communication skills, their presentation skills, their ability to work in teams, their ability to tap into creative and intuition around decision-making, and a whole range of other potentials in terms of particularly decision-makings where people don't have the full set of data available and they have to find other ways to solve problems in complex organisations.
I think it also builds confidence of students. So there's a sort of generic skills that it covers as well about how to present yourself, gives confidence, it helps. If you can sing in front of an audience, it helps enormously with your general skills for the future. And I think our drama workshop, which we do as well, is very much about interview skills and presenting yourself for future jobs.
So Judith, could you tell us a bit more about the approach that you used with your students and the benefits that you saw from taking that approach with them?
Well, it sort of started about 10 years ago when I took a group of students to the Old Vic Theatre in London, and they suggested that we would like to work on a project they were doing called Soapbox. And so some of my students took part in that project. And through that, we met an actor called Michael Pagnotta. And we started working on a workshop that would help our students in the business school with presentation skills, with interview skills, and sort of generically building confidence. So we started this workshop and we tested it on The Economist. Economic students tend to be less open to these new ideas like bringing in drama to economics. That's quite a big thing. And so it was a difficult crowd to start with, but they really enjoyed the workshop and we really saw the difference in terms of their presentation skills and their confidence when we came to the next assessment. And so we rolled out the workshop to other undergraduate students and then to postgraduate students. So all the postgraduate students now have the opportunity to do the workshop, and all mainly final year students, undergraduate students, do the workshop as well. So that started the process. And then I met Louise, who has sort of a wider view of bringing in the arts into the teaching process, and she introduced me to looking at poetry as an option, and then that moved on to singing, and so we got into a wider view of the world, if you like.
Well, I'd love to hear about that in a second, and really explore how you've taken this this area forward. If I could just come back to you, Judith, and you could tell me what the format of the workshop was, what the kind of exercises that the students were involved in.
Okay, so it was a mixture of initially sort of just saying their name, but saying their name with an action, and then they realised that actually it's much easier to remember somebody's name if you have an action associated. But they also had to use their body in the sense of movement as well as speaking. They do a thing where they actually say hello to each other, but from the length of the room. So you have to whisper it and still be able to hear it the other side of the room. And then you shout it. So different levels of voice. But the favourite and the one that always works is they have to be fireworks. So they have to start just standing quietly for a moment, gathering the audience. Then they have to be a firework and leaping around the room and making noises. And then they have to finish with a quiet bit at the end. And that teaches them teamwork. It teaches them sort of voice control, using your body to make an actual statement. And also it teaches them to gather the audience at the beginning and the end of any presentation.
Louise, if you could tell us how you got involved in applying these sort of techniques.
Okay, so just thinking back, I think it must be over 10 years ago that I started to work with poetry, which is not a usual thing that many adults work with nowadays. A lot of people find it very difficult, or they had to do it at school, or they were forced to memorize verses from poems, and have kind of, that's left them with a sense of it's something that's a bit rarefied, a bit difficult, and actually can't see the point of it. However, as I started to get involved with thinking about poetry and using it mainly as a reflective tool to write my own thoughts and feelings about what was going on in organisations, in my work life, I started to get a sense of actually how important it was to kind of channel your thoughts and your feelings into making sense of what's going on. And poetry does that really well. And one of the ways it does it is through the use of metaphor. And in organisations and in organisation studies, we've got very used to using storytelling and metaphors as part of trying to understand what's going on in organisations between people. So I started working with poetry, and mainly with not so much students, undergraduate students, but with managers who are in organisations who were going through difficult change processes, and bringing managers together in workshops to write poetry. And sometimes I use haiku, which is a very succinct form of poem, to capture the essence of what was going on. So these managers were very used to giving long explanations and complicated reasons for what was happening and the rationale behind everything, but had quite lost touch with how that left them feeling, and what else was going on, what's important to them. And the process of writing haiku is one whereby you have to capture the story in three lines. So you could say it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And within those three lines, try and bring in some kind of emotion, and in traditional haiku, some reference to nature. And that brings in the metaphor, which you can then use to explore and share the products that people make and work out, so what else is going on.
So that's a way of getting to the crux of the problem and finding out about the emotional impact a certain business issue is having on the people who are experiencing it as well. Yeah. And how helpful have people found that to just really sort of focus in on the crux of the problem?
I think they find it quite surprising how effective it is, because we can talk around an issue for a long time. We get very skilled as we become adults to actually mask what the real issues are, because we don't want to offend, or we want to be polite, and we're not sure whether we can say certain things. So working with poetry has an advantage that it helps you to say the unsayable. you can then choose whether or not you want to share that with other people, depending on who you're working with. But I can remember working with one local authority where they'd just been through a major change and a lot of people had been off. They'd either been off with illness or they'd been off with stress or they'd been off through maternity leave. And what came through in their poems was something about their caring responsibilities outside of work and the issue about work-life balance and how difficult it is to maintain a work-life balance when your work situation is pressurized, but also your home life has other pressures and demands on you. And that was something they just hadn't talked to each other about.
So your role was to sort of facilitate the finding out of what the problems were, and then were you involved in the solution or...?
Yes, what we then did was, having shared all the poems, and what the managers in the organisation then did was to work out how are they going to act on what they found out, so what they needed to introduce, whether it was more flexible opportunities for working time, whether it was, I think in one case they developed ideas for a creche that helped, so real practical outcomes that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
I imagine you can be a lot more... There's things that you wouldn't admit to yourself, but if you're sort of challenged to condense it in that way, and what part of the objective is to introduce an emotion, that is going to elicit something that you wouldn't otherwise, a response you wouldn't otherwise get from people.
Yeah, yeah, and it can be surprising.
And is that something that you've used in the school?
Yeah, yes, we had a staff development week, and we didn't use haiku, we used what I would call consequences, but I believe has the correct form is exquisite corpus, which basically you write the first line. You decide, first of all, what the theme is, whether it is about work-life balance, and that was our theme. And then everybody writes the first line, bearing in mind the theme, folds over, writes one word, a keyword, passes it around, next person does it. You do so many lines and then you open it up and read your poem. And they were really good poems. I think we had about 20 people in the workshop and they opened up and we read the poems. But then the bit I found most interesting was that people then took their own lines back. So they took each poem and saw what they wrote and created their own personal poem. And that was really revealing. Some people just looked at it and went, I didn't know I felt like this. I didn't know I was, you know, miserable. Or in one case, oh, I'm not as bad as I thought. I thought I'm quite happy, obviously. So it was deeply revealing in a couple of cases and interesting in the others. I think all of them were interesting.
What other themes could it apply to if listeners were to take it into their organisation?
Well, they could talk about if most organisations go through periods of change and restructuring or realigning roles or redefining what the organisation is, its principal purpose is. So it could be used in any of those settings. It could be used to develop strategy, which is something that might feel kind of like less emotionally involved. But actually, if you were thinking about what ideas might people have for the strategy for an organisation, you could use the same technique and gather everybody's thought. And one of the beauties is that it's very egalitarian because it means everybody gets to write a line. Whereas if you're in a meeting, you can often find the most vociferous or there are political power plays happening, which means some people speak more and some people speak less. And you can't be guaranteed whether all the best ideas have been voiced or not. Whereas in this method, it is a way of doing that.
We haven't talked about singing. Is singing a technique that you've used?
Yes, we have. We actually don't sing ourselves, apart from in the group, but we bring in a singing practitioner, I think she'd call herself. She's a natural voice teacher rather than a singing teacher. So it's not about the actual singing, it's about using your voice and joining in. And we created a workshop with her. And basically, it's teaching leadership, it's teaching teamwork, it's exploring sort of different ideas. We start off very much with just some simple techniques. So it would be as simple as sort of shouting, hey, And everybody saying it back, and everybody can do hey, and nobody. And then it gets a little bit more musical, you know, try it this way. And then very simple rounds, so everybody's doing slightly different things and getting more and more complicated. And I think one of my colleagues actually summed it up beautifully. What he learned from the session was, he said, I started off singing and I was only listening to myself. And then I realised it wasn't working. So then I started listening to everybody else. And that didn't work either. So then I realised I had to listen to myself, but also listen to everybody else. And I realised that was the whole thing about teamwork. You sometimes lose your own ideas. Sometimes you dominate, your own ideas dominate. And actually, you need to do both. And I wished I could just teach my students that. And he thought it was a really effective way of actually teaching teamwork. But similarly, we all were having to follow the teacher, and she was indicating quite strongly what she wanted us to do. No words, just by signals, and we just followed perfectly. And I have to say, you know, there were quite a number of my colleagues, and we did sound quite good. That wasn't the point, but at the end, we all came away going, "Whoa, let's form a choir." And it was, a number said it was a couple of best hours they'd spent in a long time, and came out feeling quite relaxed as well. So that's a sort of offshoot from it.
So you've got a lot of great outcomes there. You've got the sort of team building, the sort of feeling what's happening in the group and adjusting your strategy or what you're doing to that. And people enjoy it, and it's a bonding experience.
It certainly was, yes. We all as a group sort of know ourselves as the singers. Sort of. We didn't create a choir quickly, which is very sad, but we're still talking about it well.
I think what was interesting was how nervous everybody was at the beginning of the workshop, and a number of people who said they'd been told they couldn't sing, so were very nervous about making any kind of sound or noise. And by the end of the workshop, everybody was singing, everybody was making a contribution, and it really
did sound very good. And one of the most nervous was actually all out for flash mobbing, going around singing. I just couldn't believe that she was going, let's go and flash mob so-and-so. Ooh, this is the person who looked like she was about to faint at the beginning.
So if listeners were to use some of these techniques in their, to bring them into their organisations, the benefits, it sounds like people are, that there's a bonding experience, there's people more confident in expressing themselves and saying what they're really thinking. What other reasons would you encourage listeners to adopt some of these techniques?
I think it's a great team thing. It's a great bonding exercise. I do think it teaches us quite a lot about teamwork and leadership, and confidence, I think, comes out there as well. But I do think you need to have somebody from outside come in to lead it. I don't think it would work so well if you had an internal person leading it. Even if they could sing, there are techniques that I think a singing practitioner would and can use better. And also, I think it makes people less nervous if you have an outsider coming in.
One thing that our singing coach suggested was it's a good way for people to collect together and be present at the beginning of a day or at the end of a day. So actually making, in our case, students ready to work, ready to learn. You could actually start with a call and response type song, whereby the leader sings a line and then the students follow with the response, which is the same line repeated, and develop that in a little way. It wouldn't take long. It would only take 5-10 minutes, but it would be a different way to coming into a room and starting a class, or in an organisation coming into a meeting. How different would that be if before we start the meeting we have just something that enabled people to listen together, listen to each other, listen to themselves, and just...
It's a very good wake-up call. And I think one of our colleagues is very keen to do this in one of the third-year undergraduate modules, so we'll see if he does it.
That sounds like a great technique for, you know, we're all coming from different places, we've had a bad journey and the train didn't come and we've got thousands of things that we're thinking about. And to come into a meeting and do an exercise like that, it sounds like a really good way of leaving all the external stuff at the door and really coming and focusing on the purpose of the day, the purpose of the event.
Yes, I think that's an excellent way. It's a good focus. but it's also bringing the group together at the start of a class.
We've talked a little bit about leadership and how these techniques can help. And we hear a lot about the importance of authenticity in leadership at the moment. And at first glance, it would sort of seem contradictory to use acting drama techniques to access something that is authentic to us. How can the two work together?
My understanding is that what you're doing when you're acting is getting in touch with your experience, getting in touch with all the senses, and that's really important, and channeling it through a role. And if we think about the number of times motifs from drama and the acting world have been brought into organisations, so we readily talk about roles. And if it's about channeling your experience and your senses in such a way to get the job done, then that's a way of capitalising on the acting techniques that are being introduced through the workshops.
So where do you see this practice going in the future?
Well, we hope to actually embed it much more in our courses. At the moment, it's in one or two. The drama is quite nicely embedded, but the singing and the poetry, we would like to build up more of a solid core of workshops and spread it across the courses more. We're hoping to run a workshop for the MBA, and that's where we'd like to go now, just to embed it much more strongly.
One of the issues that we found is that we have to negotiate for space on current programmes for these sorts of activities. So a danger is that they're seen as added on and perhaps not felt to be mainstream to the curriculum that students are having to study. And there's a danger with that because they can be seen perhaps as the more playful element, the fun bit, the less serious side of study. But what we want to make sure is that people can, yes, it can be fun, and yes, it can be different to how people are learning in their day-to-day, but actually it's serious play, because there are some very significant skills and attributes that people can get out of it in terms of their emotional intelligence, in terms of their reflective capacity, and the sorts of skills that we've already mentioned. So we would like to see it as more mainstream and more a central feature of a programme that's available to all students.
And in the sort of wider business context, those listening today might be interested in how they can apply this in their own talent development or with people in their teams. Are there any particular exercises that you could recommend that people could easily implement?
Well, I think the consequences one, as I call it, is the easiest one to implement because everybody knows the technique. With haiku, you have to start, you know, by teaching them the rhythms, etc. So it was always a little bit of a problem, but that's very good once you've got that. I think that works well for the poetry. I think for the singing, as I say, I think it's better to have a practitioner put in, but certainly on a staff development day that everybody goes on, I think that could work very well.
Yeah, I think we've thought about and already discussed how it might be used for beginning meetings, beginning away days, beginning any group activity that an organisation might have to think about bringing people away for, but it can also be used for evaluation of what's gone on. It can also be used for generating new ideas where people are stuck or they don't know quite, you know, there are a range of options and people don't know quite which one to take. So there are a number of ways in which organisations might pick up and use things like the singing, which would be more for collaboration and listening to each other and teamwork. But certainly the poetry and the drama workshops are very useful for addressing real problems and real issues in organisations.
That's great. I think that's given us a really good idea of how organisations can address a wide range of issues, from getting teams to work together, to listen to each other, to collaborate, as well as getting to the root of problems, identifying new strategies. I think there's a wealth of things that our listeners will find really useful there. So thank you very much for your time, and I hope to hear more from you when the practice has been extended in the future.
Thank you.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.